Hey, what's up, guys? It's Aaron Gabriels here from Under 54 Disc Golf. In this episode of the podcast, we're going to try something new out here. We have with us nobody. It's just me. It's just going to be me. I've had some questions that have been kind of directed or asked to just me, so I don't, I figured I'd just knock some of these out, kind of give you guys some more information and answer some more of your questions. So, with that said, let's get into this. So, the first question, some of these early questions that we have are, like I said, kind of just to Aaron, asked specifically to me. So we'll just kind of jump into these. One of the questions that I have here is, who is on Under 54 Disc Golf, the team, for 2019? That's a great question. We have, this year, myself, obviously, Jared Stoll. He's on Westside Discs. He's been on here with me, and he'll continue to be on here with me as he tours. We'll kind of have segments with him of what's been going on with his tours lately and whatnot, and different courses and all that good stuff. So Jared Stoll, part of Westside Discs. Another one of the main guys for Under 54 is Lee Thomas. Lee and I have been really good friends for, probably going on about 5 years now, I'd say. Maybe even a little bit longer than that. But Lee kind of is the art. He helps out a lot with the artwork, some media stuff. He's very good at that kind of stuff, and he's one of my best friends. So Lee Thomas, he's actually on Prodigy Disc. He's on the Prodigy Disc Street Team. I think he's one of the, like, original Street Team members. He's been throwing Prodigy since since Prodigy came out. He fell in love with that plastic. He throws that plastic. Really good golfer. He's a really good friend of mine. So next we have Cam Binnick. You guys heard Cam in the 11 questions with Cam. He's up in the Traverse City area. He plays for Prodigy as well. That dude is awesome. Great golfer. He's going to hit 1,000 rated soon. Backhand, forehand, smooth as butter. Butter on a hot roll like Billy Crump. Hashtag that. Just a smooth, cool dude. Love that guy. We also have Andy and Maria Thomas. Andy is actually Lee Thomas's brother. Andy and Maria, I met them probably a year or so after I met Lee. They're from the Toledo area. They are awesome people. Andy plays AM1 professional. Maria plays, I want to say, AM1 professional women's. She kills it. They both kill it. Andy, I've said this before, Andy Thomas has one of the smoothest releases. Love watching that guy throw. He's going to be on the podcast with me here in the future. Maria, we're going to get her on there too. We might do another overload, kind of like we did with the Oleskis. Maybe we'll do an Andy and Maria Thomas. Maybe we'll get all three of them and just kind of just blow your ears out. So, but yeah, like I said, the Oleskis, they're part of Under 54. Brandon and Jessica Oleski, if you don't know anything about them, they are all over Michigan. Brandon won AmNats 2017. Jess has won Bowling Green Amateur Championships. They're all over Michigan, very well loved around Michigan. Check out the Oleski Overload podcast that we did. You can kind of get a little bit, well, not a little bit, a lot of more information from those two. They're on the team. Love those guys. Zach Colosimo, he is part of the under 54 team. I met him through Lee Thomas. I'm not sure exactly where he's from, but I believe he started playing out there in Adrian with Lee. Maybe that's wrong. Zach, I'm sure will, comment or kind of let me know if I'm wrong. But that dude's super cool. I think he's throwing Discraft right now. A lot of Discraft in the bag. But super cool dude, great golfer. Lefty sidearm is wicked. Love that. And then we have I'll go back to Andy and Maria. They both, I believe, throw quite a bit of Prodigy. I know that they were all Prodigy for a little while. I'm not sure what they're doing for 2019. So yeah, but then to the Oleskis, Brandon is on team MVP for 2019. Jess, I do not believe, is sponsored by any disc manufacturer, but at some point soon it's going to happen. So we'll be sure and let everybody know when that happens, because it's going to happen soon. Zach is on, or he throws a lot of Discraft. So that brings us to the last person that we have on, and we call this the core team, and this is kind of who we're starting with for 2019. We kind of shrunk it down, kind of went back to a core team to kind of reset kind of the team and what we're kind of doing with under 54. Things have changed. So we kind of went back to a core team, and the last person that we have on this team is Erica Hine. And I said when we were talking to the Oleskis, this girl is bad. She is, like I said before, she is the best women's disc golfer in Michigan that you've never heard of. And why I say that is she's not on any social media, I do not believe. No Facebook, no Instagram. I think she has a disc golf scene account, but she pretty much uses that just to sign up for tournaments. But this girl is awesome. Crazy good drives, great putts. She's just got game, and I really want to get her out there as much as we can, because we're gonna get her film. We're gonna film her. We're gonna get her on YouTube. If you search on YouTube Erica Hine, there's a short 1 minute, 2 minute clip on YouTube about her, and you can kind of see some of her drives and putts. But yeah, she's really good. Love watching her play. And all these people on the team are, you can talk to any of them, and we are just, we'll talk to anybody. We love talking disc golf. We love being around people, playing with other people. So, yeah, message us, find us on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. If you guys want to, ask us any questions on the podcast, if you guys want to play rounds with us, whatever, we're up for anything. So, that's who's starting on the core team for 2019. We're going to get into some more sponsorships and have more people on the team as we kind of, like I said, refocus what Under 54 is doing. And one of the questions that I had here was actually, what is under 54? And I've answered that before on the podcast. Back when Ragna and I did the podcast, that was one of the very first questions that we answered. But it started out, Under 54 started out as I was wanting to get into more of the running tournaments, running leagues, course design, pitching ideas to cities and villages and parks and all kinds of stuff like that. And I at the time was not sponsored by any company, so I came up with Under 54 Disc Golf pretty much just so when I would go pitch ideas to certain people, I could, you know, it sounded a little bit more professional. It wasn't just like, "Hi, I'm Aaron. You should put baskets in the trees over there." It was more so I could say, you know, "My name's Aaron Gabriels from Under 54. We run leagues. We do this. We would love to talk to the Parks and Recreation about getting a course in here." All kinds of stuff like that. So we've done a little bit of everything. When we first started out, we had, right off the bat, we started talking to Ragna. And Ragna was so kind to us and so helpful with us. And she jumped on board right away, and she really helped us push the name. And, we came up with some Ragna stamps that Lee Thomas actually designed. I think Lee Thomas designed every one of those. So we came up with the Ragna stamps. We sold some Ragna discs and helped raise some funds for her. So that's kind of how we were doing tournaments. We started with McCourty. We started designing McCourty and helped out with that, getting baskets in there, running sanctioned events like the Purple Gang Open, running leagues. When I first moved to Michigan from Kansas City, I was used to playing leagues in Kansas City. In Kansas City, they kind of did, I kind of saw how they were running their leagues through Disc Golf World with Rick Rothstein. And so I kind of had a taste of, and it was very successful. The leagues in Kansas City were very successful. So I kind of had a taste about how to do the funny money for the amateurs, pay out cash for the pros, stuff like that. So when I moved to Michigan, there was a league going on kind of around my house, and they Tyler LeBeau, that dude, one of my best friends, he was kind of running some leagues and some tournaments, and I was like, "Hey, what if we kind of tweaked some of these, and here's some ideas that I have for some leagues and stuff like that." So we kind of tweaked some things and just started running with Under 54, and you know, wanted to not just keep it locally, but, you know, run sanctioned events here and there. And so we kind of started off with that. And then one of the questions here is that I had was, somebody asked, what happened with the McCourty 24-hole layout? Which, you know, I've posted on Disc Golf Scene, you know, we got some baskets through the city, and we actually have 24 pins all together for that course. Then somebody asked me, why aren't there 24 holes in the ground? That's a great question. The reason we do not have 24 holes in the ground there is we got the original 18 in, and we got concrete tee pads for 18, which was a huge, huge deal, because it's the first 18-hole disc golf course in Hillsdale County, Michigan. So we got that in the ground. I was talking with the Parks and Recreation. They actually had a couple ideas for a couple baskets. They had some wooded areas. They had a company that was going to come out and mulch the holes and mulch this walking path in the woods. and we designed some holes back there in the springtime that kind of got flooded. So we were talking about redirecting the holes to try to get 24 holes in there, and Parks and Recreation said no, they wanted to keep it back there, that this guy was going to mulch it all so the rain, the water wouldn't be a problem. So we kind of were like, okay, we'll keep it where it's at. And they had these two holes, E and F, which were on the back side after 15, that actually the Parks and Recreation Department, the guy that I was talking to on the Parks and Recreation Department, it was actually his idea to put these holes in. So we put them in over there. A couple awesome holes. One you throw kind of not really directly over this pond, but you kind of throw over a pond uphill behind this tree, kind of a hyzer, or a lefty hyzer, both ways to get to it. And then you throw back down the hill over the stream to an island, OB all around. You have to make it on the island. Gorgeous hole from the top of the hill down. And that was actually the Parks and Recreation, the course leader. That was actually his idea. So we did those some, and then we designed some in the woods. It got flooded, like I said. We had a couple baskets placed. So we did that. And then I actually moved an hour west of the course. So I wasn't really going out there anymore and doing any more work in it. About the same time, there were some changes on the Parks and Recreation Board for the Somerset Township. So at this time, a woman started kind of becoming in charge of the course, and she hated hole E and F, which it kind of threw around some picnic tables, but not to the point of where it was dangerous. It was kind of in a section of the park that doesn't really get used a whole lot by pedestrians or people grilling out, stuff like that. So she didn't really approve of that, and they kind of got into, or from what I understand, they kind of were, we're going to keep these. No, we're going to take them out. We're going to keep them. No, we're going to take them out. And while all this was kind of going on, I had moved an hour away, and with everything kind of up in the air, it was like, I don't know what's going on here. So I'm just gonna, kind of. We got 18 holes. We got 18 baskets in the ground. We got 18 concrete pads. I think at one time they were playing 22 holes out there, because I know, shout out to Chris Otis and Chuck Wineland. I know that they were using the two in the woods, and I think E and F. So that at one point they were playing 22 holes, I believe, out there. But yeah, it kind of just. Everything was kind of up in the air. Nobody kind of knew what was going on, what were the plans. And so I didn't have I also at this time had gotten a new job and had moved an hour away. So I was really focusing on that instead of trying to figure out how we're going to finish off this 24-hole disc golf course. And I'm not sure where it's headed. I'm sure Chris Otis is doing awesome things out there. Love that guy. I'm sure he's got plans. I'm sure he's going to do something awesome with it. So I'm not worried about it. We got 18 pins and concrete tee pads out there. What kind of course is McCourty? It's a shorter course. They really wanted to be able to have some kind of they wanted the middle of the map. They didn't want it to be super difficult, which I don't know if there's enough land out there to be super difficult and long. But they didn't want it, just for beginners. So, yeah, it's kind of middle of the map. I don't think there's a hole there over 400 feet. I think the average hole distance is probably 340 to 360. A lot of them are. But there's a lot of different shots you can throw out there, and it's a great course, fun little course. So go check that out if you haven't played that. That's a Lady in Blue course in McCordy Park in Somerset Center, Michigan. Yep, that's one of the questions that I actually had was, we'll kind of go into this. One of the questions that I actually had is, what kind of job does Aaron have? Outside of disc golf. So, well, I have a question here is, why doesn't Aaron tour, and what job does Aaron have outside for a living? What does Aaron do for a living? What I do for a living is I actually work in Battle Creek, Michigan. I work at Duncan Aviation. I am in the paint department. I'm on the paint detail team. Kind of a long story short, or a long description shortened, would be I paint private charter jets. I'm on the detail team, which kind of like finalizes the paint job. So that's actually what I do as a living. The reason I don't tour is because my wife and kids and I, we are one income family. My wife homeschools our children. So my main focus from the day I had our first child was to take care of them. Being, I don't even know what I'm rated anymore. 950-ish, probably 950-ish to. At one point, I was at 974. So even at the highest point of my rating at 974, you can't you. I don't think it's possible to tour on the road playing disc golf to raise a family with one income. So touring disc golf isn't my. That's not what my heart is set on. I do not care to. I could care less if I'm 910 rated, 970 rated. To me, that's kind of where Under 54 started again. Also, was to me, I just, I had to find a different route in my disc golf career that would keep things exciting and fun for me. So, Under 54 and this kind of stuff, teaching new players the game, running leagues, inviting new people to leagues, stuff like that, can really get putting courses in can really get you excited, and not just in the competitive side, because especially in this is I'm sure this is true in a lot of states, but in Michigan, if you're not putting every day, if you're not playing every day, if you're not putting all the time in all year, even in the winter, even in the polar vortexes, you're losing ground to all these Michigan pros, because they play all year round and they're super good. Super competitive state here in Michigan. So, those are some of the questions that I had for me. Another question that I had is, which we kind of touched on this in the intro podcast when Jared and I were talking. Somebody asked if I would run through the 11 questions by myself. So, like, run through the 11 questions with a pro that I ask the pros and answer all the 11 questions. So I will do that, and I'll do that here in just a second. All right, guys. So, like I said, somebody asked me to go through the 11 questions and answer the questions myself. So, we'll go ahead and do that now. I'm bringing up the list here. I'm trying to find the list here. Okay, cool. So we got it. So I'll run through these 11 questions with myself. Question number one is, who introduced me to disc golf and how did I get started playing disc golf? My buddy, Johnny Nichols, shout out Johnny Nichols. His dad used to play disc golf back when we were in high school, and his dad had a bag of discs, and I'd never heard of it. And my buddy Johnny was like, "Hey, you want to go froth?" And I'll never forget this. I love calling it froth for this reason alone. When Johnny and my buddies and I would go disc golf and we would call it froth, his dad and his dad's friends hated it. They hated the fact that he called it froth. And I know for a fact that's why I call it froth still, because people get very upset when you call it froth. I think it's funny. I think it's funny when people get upset when you call it a frisbee instead of a disc. Who cares? It's a piece of plastic that you throw like the original frisbee. So a frisbee, a disc, froth, falf, disc golf, disking, golf bee, whatever you call it. Frisbee throwing, who cares? Let's go play it. Let's go do it. Let's go throw these plastic things at metal things in the woods. So that's kind of what we did. That's how I started playing disc golf. Swing into that later, but it was. We'll get to that. Oh, what were my first discs? I know the first discs that I bought. I don't remember the first discs that I threw with Johnny's, with his dad's discs. I don't remember. But the first discs that I bought was a DX Valkyrie, a black DX Dragon, which was the worst. And a DX Polecat. I think they were all like $6.99 at Oklahoma Joe's in Kansas City, now Kansas City Joe's, or Joe's Kansas City, something like that. But I bought the discs in the gas station there, right down the road from Rosedale Park. They had Discraft and Innova. And Innova, I just grabbed Innova. I liked the feel of the Innova plastic better than the Discraft plastic, so I went with that. And the rest is history. But the reason I say that black DX Dragon was the worst disc ever is because black is so hard to find wherever you throw it. So throwing it into the woods and to thick shrubs. I think I lost that disc the first or second round that I had it. And I know exactly where I lost it. It was Rosedale, hole number 10 back in the day. So I think now it's hole number 11. But it was behind the basket down that hill, or there's like some bushes back there that it just got swallowed up by, so I know exactly where it is. Whoever found it can keep it. Obviously, that was 12 years ago, but yeah, I'll never throw a black disc ever again. So what is my home course? The very first place I started playing was Rosedale Park in Kansas City. Love it. I'm gonna always consider that to be my home course. Down under, they got two 18-hole disc golf courses there. They got the up top and the down under. Down under is where I started. It's in the woods, kind of along a not really a cliff, but kind of a rocky hill, down in the woods. You got your anywhere from 120 foot shots. This is probably all changed. I haven't been back to Kansas City in probably 7 or 8 years now, but the holes were 200 feet, 120 to 300 feet, somewhere in there in the woods, and it was a blast. That's how we started, and then we finally started playing the up top course later on, with more open fields, and we were getting a little bit more distance. But I would say that's my all time. That's my home course forever. My home course now, the course that I'm closest to, right now, is probably Vicksburg, out in Vicksburg, Michigan, Vicksburg Recreational Area. That would probably be the closest course to me now that I would consider my home course. McCourty is big. McCourty is about an hour from me. That's the first course that I kind of helped design. That's kind of like my baby. So those three courses are kind of my home courses, I guess. When did I start playing competitively, and how did that come about? I started playing with my buddies. We started playing every Sunday. Sunday fun day, we called it. Our wives and girlfriends would go to the pool. Myself, my buddy Tim, my other buddy Tim, and my buddy Drew, with the occasional Matt Sajwadge, would join us. Every Sunday we'd go play a Rosedale up top for the summer, the first summer. And then competitively, I fell in love with it, and I started throwing sidearm, and I fell in love with it, and I was like, I saw people throwing backhand, and I couldn't understand how they could throw it so far. So I started studying it, and I started learning techniques, and my buddies would kind of laugh at me, for the different things that I would try, like the unicorn stomp they called it one time, when I would run up the tee pad backwards, like shuffling my feet, reaching back as far as I could to then yank the disc through. I started throwing rollers, trying to figure out all kinds of angles, and they kind of just laughed at me. But I started figuring it out, and I started my other one of my buddies, Stephen Gunn. We started kind of getting pretty good. So he said, "Man, there's this disc golf league. Let's try it out." And I said, "All right." So Wednesday nights we played Rosedale Amateur League a couple times, and you win first place, you're getting like 8 to 10 or whatever KC cash they called it, that you could go spend at Disc Golf World in Kansas City. And after doing that for a couple times, I was like, well, now I gotta drive to Disc Golf World to spend this, $8. So now I gotta spend gas money going all the way downtown Kansas City to spend $8 on discs. I'd rather just get cash. So right off the bat, I just went right into playing open league events. This was kind of towards the end of 2008. I started playing some open events, and the second and third open leagues that I played, I actually won first place at, beating Arturo, Kansas City legend, a couple times at Waterworks. I think the first time I won, I shot a 51, three down at Waterworks, and I beat the whole open field, the whole league out there. And they used to, I'm sure they still do, but they used to have, I mean, upwards to 60 people playing league at Thursday nights at Waterworks. So I beat Arturo the second and third time that I played open leagues, and I was like, cool, I think I'm onto something here. So then in 2009, in March 2009, is when I started playing PDGA events. I got my PDGA number like the end of 2008, when you get the free rest of 2008 on to 2009 membership. I didn't play anything in 2008. My first PDGA event was Canyon Waikato 2009. And I played against my real good buddy Cooper Arnold. Shout out Cooper. He's on Team Innova in the Kansas City area. Super cool dude. It's pretty cool to come full circle and to both be on Team Innova after, 10 years of or over 10 years after playing our, and I want to say that was his first tournament as well. I'll tag him and I'll ask him and we'll get the answer for you guys. When did you start? Why? What is your favorite disc and why? We've been doing favorite disc of all time and favorite disc right now. My favorite disc, we answered that in the intro, is my favorite disc all time is the KC Pro Rock, the flat top KC Pro Rock. I love that thing. I feel like I can make that thing fly however I want to. And I feel good with that 360 feet to, I probably really only throw that for like 280 to 360. 280 and under, I'm probably throwing a some sort of rhino that I feel like I can bend. But yeah, so KC Pro Rock flat top, my favorite disc of all time. My favorite disc right now that I mentioned in the intro is the Champion Cayman. Oh my goodness, I love this thing. I got rid of the Gator, took the Gator 3 out of any kind of practicing I was doing with it, and now I just throw the Champion Cayman. I love it. It's faster. It has more glide. It still has the bite of a Gator. It just feels so good in the hand, sidearm and backhand. So Champion Cayman is my favorite disc right now. Loving that. And the Bullfrog. I love the Bullfrog. We can get into that a little bit later. We might as well get into it now. Why not? One of the reasons I love the Bullfrog so much is I have, and people will tell you this, I've been playing with Innova discs for since I started. I've been in love with Innova discs. People say I'm crazy about Innova discs, and it's true. The reason I love the Bullfrog is because I've never been crazy about Innova putters. I like a very, very specific feel for putting. I like the hardest. If you handed me the hardest putter in the world, the stiffest putter in the world, I would probably still say this isn't stiff enough. I love stiff putters, but I need it to be like grippy, chalky, like crazy. The Bullfrog's grip is amazing. I love the lower profile, tad bit lower profile with the big bead. I love it. KC AVR's a little bit too slick for me. The DX plastic, a little too soft for me. I love the Yeti grip, but I don't really like the sunken in top. I love the Yeti. It's a great winter. I used to putt with those in the winter time because they would be stiff enough, but it still kind of had the sunken in top. So the Bullfrog, anyways, the Bullfrog is just everything I wanted in an Innova putter, and I love it. And I'm never, mark my words, I'm never changing from the Innova Bullfrog. As long as I'm part of Innova, even long after, I hope that I'm with Innova forever. But I probably will not putt with anything other than a Bullfrog. So, moving on to what is my favorite course and why? Ooh, man. My favorite course that I've ever played, I gotta say it's USDGC. Awesome. It demands every shot, and you have to place every shot perfectly. But that's like the basic, like Jared said, that's the basic answer. So, Albion, we talked about Albion. We didn't really talk about why Albion was one of our favorite courses, but that is like championship level course in Michigan, and it's fairly close to me. Why do we love Albion? It's got par fours. The first 8 holes kind of play in mature trees and elevated ground. So it's you still have to hit your line in the trees, but it's forgiving if you hit a tree and get kicked. With OB roads, you know, par fours, a couple 450 uphill. There's hole 5 from the long tee is probably 550 downhill down this kind of, you know, fairly forgiving tunnel. You know, then you got a couple of the 280 footers with OB like right next to it. Then you go to hole 9, you got a pond right in front of the basket that eats up so many discs. You can get them back there, but you can't get your strokes back there. So if you hit that pond, you're probably getting a circle 3 because it's right in front of the basket, but or you can lay up a little bit before it or go for it. Hole 10 is the scariest hole in all of Michigan. 326 feet, I want to say, over the Kalamazoo River. And we're talking about over the river the entire way. And if that's not hard enough, it forces you to throw, if you're a right-handed, backhanded player, it forces you to throw the Anheuser bend around that, or you can throw a hyzer way outside, out right, and kind of try to pitch up and get your 3. But and then you go right into hole 11, which is crazy water, tough water to your left, water to your right, probably about a 10-foot grassy fairway with water on both sides. And then to hole 12, you got a pond, a par 5, 1,000-footer with a pond in play and mandos and over and out of bounds roads. And then 13 and 14 play along the river and over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. That's just an awesome course. You got to play it. So that's probably what I would say my favorite course is around here. Highest rated round that I've ever thrown was actually in a Next Generation Tour event. It was down in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I shot a 1037, 1038, somewhere in there. Real high 1030s at Schoaf Park for the Next Generation Tour. I won the event, got invited to regionals. And didn't end up playing regionals. That's a whole different story. But, yeah, Schoaf Park, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1039 is my highest rated round. Other high rated rounds that I've had, I shot back to back 1020 rounds at Albion. Because if you can tackle that course, if you can just stay in bounds and everything, I think it was a 52. I think both rounds were 52s, and I think they were both like 1020, 1022 or something like that. Back-to-back rounds in the Angry Squirrel tournament. Highest rated round. Favorite thing to do on the road other than disc golf? I love filming disc golf. I love filming video blogs, road trips. I love all that kind of stuff. So if I'm not disc golfing, I love filming disc golf. I've driven an hour and a half away to film my buddy playing a C tier before. It's weird. I don't know why I didn't play that C tier, but I just love filming and disc golf media. So the dream MPO card that I had, you know, I haven't even thought of this for myself. Dream MPO card. Whew. I'd say, wow, this is tough. Dream NPO card. Probably, obviously, it'd be great to play with Paul Macbeth, especially now. I'd love to see him, throwing Discraft discs now and seeing him kind of going through that. I'm sure he's going to do just fine, but it would just be interesting to see, right up close what he's throwing. So I'd say Paul Macbeth. Oh man. When I ask the pros these questions, I give them a heads up on these questions so they actually have a little bit of time to think about it. But we'll just find some and it can always change, obviously. But I'd love to play with probably Eagle and Simon and watch them just crush those things super far. Kevin Jones would be another fun one to play with. Dude just seems like he loves life. Super cool dude. So I'd say a five-some, I'd say Paul Macbeth, Simon and Eagle, and Kevin Jones, some of the farthest throwers. Drew Gibson, would love to play with him and see him throw real far. Eric Oakley, super fun dude. So if I had a seven some, we'll do that. That's the six guys that I'd play with. On to the FPO side. Love playing with Ragna. Super nice. Always fun to hang out with. I love how she plays when she. I love when she throws a bad shot because she's so over it so fast. And that's how you have to be in golf. I love that she gets bummed out. Oh man. But that's it. That's the end of it. And it's on to, preparing for the next shot. I love that. I think it'd be fun to play with Kona. She's real well known. Real big following on social media. Innova girl. So Kona would be a choice there. Be fun to play with Paige Pierce. That's kind of the basic answer, Paige Pierce, just to see her throwing farther than me would be awesome. Who else would I? Ragna, Kona, Paige Pierce, Katrina, obviously, players like that. Love Madison Walker, Zoe Andyke, super cool. Watched her play multiple times. Real fun. Those ladies are some of the top picks that I would choose to play with on a card. And the last question for 11 questions with Aaron is, what are my plans for 2019? 2019, I have, we got some big plans actually, Jared and I do, but it's getting these things to fall into place and work out. So, we really want to film a lot. We want to do in the bags. We want to do showdowns for YouTube. All kinds of stuff like that. We're gonna film I still want to call her Jaworski, but she got married. Oleski, Jessica Oleski. We're gonna film Jessica versus Erica Hine showdown. I think would be awesome. We gotta get Erica, like I said, we gotta get her out there on YouTube, and people gotta see this girl throw. So I think that's one of my main things for 2019 is to get Jessica and Erica showdown on YouTube. That's one of my biggest goals for 2019. Obviously, we're gonna bring you a lot more of Jared and his West Side disc transition. We're gonna bring you Brandon Oleski and his team MVP transition. We're gonna bring his in the bag. I'm gonna do a lot more stuff with Innova, and Andy Marweed, he just got a promotion in Innova. He's up to the I think he's up to the crew team maybe. But he, Michigan dude, love throwing with that guy, love Innova. That's you know, filming these guys, and I feel like as an Innova ambassador and under 54, I feel like it's kind of my job to, I really want to start helping Andy Marweed get any kind of footage of him out there, push him any way I can, because the dude's going to be, he's going on tour this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets another promotion after this year, because the dude is just killer. Same with Cam Bennick and Prodigy. He's killer. We want to get him out there as much as we can, help these guys as much as we can, and Jared, obviously. But that's kind of, we're probably going to run, I'm looking at maybe running a couple C-tier events. Probably the Bomb City Open will you know, maybe turn it into the Hillsdale Open or something, just so we sanction it, so Jared can have his Bomb City Open name or whatever. But maybe running a C-tier at Hillsdale College. Maybe bring back the Purple Gang Open at a different time in the year. We didn't do that last year because we were at USDGC in the very first week of October, which is when we do Purple Gang. So, stuff like that. I'm gonna shoot to have some more discs out, more bomb stamp discs. Lee and I are actually working on a new stamp that is going to be killer. So look for that. That kind of stuff. I'm planning on going back to USDGC this year. I'm gonna try to qualify and play that event. That's kind of one of my bucket list items now. One of my competitive side bucket list items that I want to try to do is actually compete and play in the USDGC. So, those kind of things are what, you know, plans for 2019. So, sorry that was a little bit longer than I thought. I thought I was going to rush through those questions. Yeah, 11 questions with Aaron. Those are my answers to those 11 questions. Thanks for listening. Let me know what you thought of this. Just me talking with nobody else here. You know, if you enjoyed it, if you enjoyed me answering questions on my own, or if it was boring, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you say you didn't like it. So, you know, but let me know. Email us at under54disc@gmail.com, Instagram at under54disc, or at Aaron Gabriel's Instagram, Jared Stoll, Cam Bennick Disc Golf, Jared Stoll, Jay Stoll, his PDGA number, I'm not sure exactly what that is, sorry buddy, 68103 maybe, 8675309, Jenny, not sure, the Oleskis, Andy Maria Thomas, Zach, message these guys, ask them questions. We're going to have everybody that we mentioned on the under 54 team at some point is going to be doing a podcast episode with me. So, we'll have those on. If you guys message them your questions, we'll be able to answer all of those. But other than that, yeah, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Okay, so I wanted to give my take in this Discmania Latitude 64 news, and what I think about it. And to be honest, if you think about it, disc golfers are really only throwing, we're just going to stick with the five major companies here, but if you're a disc golfer throwing one of the five major companies, you're either throwing Innova, Latitude 64, Discraft, Prodigy, or MVP. And you're only throwing those five if you think about it. And for newer players, why do I say that? Because Innova makes Discmania, Millennium, Heiser Bomb, and I believe a couple Infinite discs. And then Latitude 64, they make Dynamic discs, Westside discs. Discraft makes DGA discs. And then MVP makes Axiom discs and Streamline discs. And Prodigy has its own thing. So if you think about it, you're really only throwing Innova, Latitude 64, Discraft, MVP, or Prodigy if we're talking about the five major companies here. So if you look at a Discmania disc, for instance, up before this point, on the bottom of it, it's going to have Innova embossment or imprinted, just like Millennium's going to have Innova on the bottom. The Heiser Bombs are going to have Innova on the bottom. Then if you look at Latitude 64 discs, I don't know if they've changed this, but the earlier runs on the Dynamic discs on the bottom and the Westside discs had Latitude 64 imprinted on them. Discraft, DGA, same thing. MVP, Axiom, and Streamline, I don't know about the imprinting, but those companies are all made by MVP. So how does that affect me as an Innova sponsored player? To me, it doesn't affect me at all. I've gotten to the point where I strictly throw Innova just because I am sponsored by Innova Discs. I've thrown some Discmania. I had a PD2 in the bag for a little bit, and I've thrown Millennium Supersofts, but I don't have either of those discs in my bag at the moment. I have strictly all Innova discs. So it doesn't bother me one bit. What it means for Discmania players is now Discmania players can throw Discmania discs that were made by Innova, and now they'll be able to throw Latitude 64 discs that makes Discmania molds. So Discmania players will now be able to throw anything Discmania, and now the Latitude 64 discs. Assuming they probably won't be able to throw the earlier stuff, but maybe they are. I don't know. But for me, it doesn't affect me one bit. And if you think about it, the way I said, the five major companies, Innova, Latitude, Discraft, MVP, and Prodigy. Innova is still going to be on top, I believe, number one in disc golf. So that's kind of my take on it. What do I think? How do I think it's going to affect the Discmania players? I'm sure those guys are going to love it. You know, that's more plastic, more options that they can throw, but there's only so many molds and so many discs that do anything that'll change. Like, I think once you get to the point where you know exactly what you're throwing, you don't really need anything newer in your bag. My basics haven't changed in probably, you know, 8 to 10 years. My distance drivers are Destroyers. I throw Firebirds, T-Birds, Rocks, Rhinos, Gators. The newest thing that I've thrown is the Cayman, like I said before. I switched that out for the Gator. That's the newest mold in my bag. And the Bullfrog, yep. So I haven't really changed anything. And I'm assuming that a lot of these pro players aren't going to be changing too much out of their bag. Eagle and Simon already dominate with the Discmania discs that they throw. So yeah, they'll add some things here and there and you know, promote them and stuff for sales. But once you get to that point, you know, there's really only about 10 different molds, I think, that the touring pro probably really needs. And then they have variables, they have different variations of those discs. So, but yeah, that's kind of what I think about it. How do I think it's going to affect disc golf? I think all of these contracts and signings and all of this stuff and all of these companies making all these new discs and all this is only good for the sport. I wonder if it's going to start being just way more confusing. Probably not once you get into the disc golf and kind of study the discs and stuff like that. It probably won't be that confusing, but for newer players, I mean, I guess newer players are confused either way, so they don't understand the flight numbers and stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but I can see it kind of getting to a little confusing for people out there. So I just wanted to say a little bit about that, and that's kind of how I think about it. And thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time on the podcast.